Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Chaf Beis, and we are 8 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. So we're at the tail end of a very intense sugya, where the Gemara was discussing the second halacha in the Mishnah, daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, right in the beginning of the parak, which discussed the halacha of mifarcheses. So we know that if one shechts an animal, a kosher shechita, the animal is still alive. It's mifarcheses. So it's literally hanging on to its last few moments of life. The halacha is that even though it's alive, if somebody would take an aver or basar from this animal and eat it, he would not be over the iser aver menachai, he would not be over the iser basar menachai. And even though he's removing an aver or basar from a live animal, but being that the animal already had a kosher shechita, that's enough to remove the iser eiver menachai and the iser baser menachai. Because the definition of chai, as it relates to eiver menachai and baser menachai, is not physically whether the animal is alive or dead, but rather it's whether the animal had a shechita or did not have a shechita. Loi b'misa talya milsa, ela b'shechita talya milsa. For that reason, if the animal's mefarcheses, it would be okay to eat. The Mishnah discussed the case where someone shechted an animal. It was mifarcheses. It was not a kosher shechita for a very obvious reason. And still, on some level, we'll say that being that there was a kosher shechita, will somehow in halacha view the shechita as a shechita. What was the case? Where somebody shechted a behemet meya, a non-kosher animal. This week's parasha talks about the non-kosher animals. So somebody shechted a gummel, a shafan, an arneves, a chazer. He shechted a non-kosher animal. He shechted it with the intention that a goy should eat it. That's poshit, the shechita is not a kosher shechita, because it's a non-kosher animal. How could you shecht a non-kosher animal? Stating that, if the animal's mefarcheses, we're going to look at the shechita as if it's a shechita to the extent that we'll now view the animal as dead, so that it'll be subject to Tumas Eichlin. Because only a dead piece of meat is subject to Tumas Eichlin. A live piece of meat is not subject to Tumas Eichlin. L'chura, at first glance, this animal is alive. But being that it had a kosher shechita, and in Hilchah Shechita there's an idea that if you give an animal a kosher shechita, even if it's still alive, it's mefarcheses, still the animal's considered shachut with regards to the halachas of Eivim and Achai, as it relates to this animal as well. Even though it's pashut, the shechita was not a kosher shechita. Why not? Because it was a behemet meya. But if there was a ma'isa shechita, even if the animal's alive, we're going to look at this ma'isa shechita as if it effectuated a real shechita to the degree that we're going to look at this as being a piece of flesh of a dead animal, thus will be subject to the halachas of Tumas Eichlin. The Gemara and Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph from the days brought a very long braisa, and one of the things that the braisa mentioned was another example, another application of the same exact concept, and that would be, what happens if a non-Jew would shecht a kosher animal with the intention that a Yid will eat it, the animal was mefarcheses. There too, said the Braisa, this animal will be subject to the halachas of Tumas Eichlin. Why? Because being that there was a shechita, even though the animal's alive, now we look at it as a piece of meat of a dead animal, there's going to be Tumas Eichlin. The problem is there was no shechita. The guy is the one that shechted it. And we know that a Yid has to shecht. And any Yehudi is possible a shechita. But there it is. It was farta maisa shechita. And therefore we deem it a shechita at least to the degree that you'll have the halachas of Tumas Eichlin. Either way, the Gemara discussed it in very great detail. There was a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiyah, whether if somebody would remove an aver or a kezayis basa from this animal that's mifarcheses, that really didn't have a kosher shechita, but on some level we view it as if it did have a kosher shechita, would it be an iser aver menachai? Did it be an iser basa menachai? The Gemara had a tanya kavase, the Rabbi Yochanan. Either way, the Gemara concludes this discussion with a few more interesting shailas regarding this halacha. Boy, Rabbi Lazar, Shaba, Doris, Bamahu. What happens if the Yid who shechted in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, or the non-Jew that shechted in the Braisan, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Beis, so he shechted, it wasn't a good shechita, but on some level it was a good shechita. What happens if while he was doing the shechita, he violated some of the halachas in Hilchah Shechita? So we know there are 5 halachas L'moshe Misinai that govern every shechita. You can't do Shia, you can't do Hadrasa, Hagrama, etc. So what happens if this person messed up in the shechita? Shaba, Dares Bamahu, do we say that, oh, now it's not a kosher shechita anymore? So if it's not a kosher shechita, it won't be subject subject to Tumas Leichlin. Or do we say this was never a kasher shechita? I mean, this whole thing on some level is really all in our imagination, that we're somehow making believe it was a kasher shechita. So the fact that a goy shechted doesn't bother me, but the fact that Shabbat and Darasba is going to bother me, the fact that you're shechting a chazer doesn't bother me, but the fact that it's Shabbat and Darasba is going to bother me, so that was the shayla, very nice shayla that Rabbi Lazar asked. Omaleya, who Saba? So there was a Saba who answered. Who's a who Saba? So Tosis throughout Shas says that wherever the Gemara says a who Saba, it means Eliyo Anavi. So Eliyo Anavi chimed in, and he said, Hachi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Tzricha Hechsha Shechita Kebehema Tahayu. Now you have to prepare it literally as if you were shechting a behemoth Torah. Says the Gemara, Hechshel Amai, what does that mean? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Bedika Sakin. Even have to check the Sakin. So that's Pashat. As it relates to the actual Shechita, you have to make sure it's a Kasher Shechita. We'll look away in our Mishnah from the fact that it's a behemoth Tmeya. We'll look away in the Braisa from the fact that it's an Eini Yehudi that's doing the Shechita. But as it relates to the Chetza of the Shechita, it has to be perfect. You have to make sure there's no Shah Badaris, but you even have to check the Sakin to make sure that there's no pkimos in it, to make sure that this shechita was done 100%. It's another shayla. Maushet tatzel ala bluin shebetoich. So we're familiar with the halach of Tumas Meis. Stating that, the halach is that if somebody would swallow something, so let's say somebody swallows a ring, walks into an oil ames, the halach is that the ring that's balua inside the person that swallowed it doesn't become tummy tumas meis. And even though technically it's under the same oil as the meis, but being that it's balua inside the person that swallowed it, there's a halach of tumas baluin. If somebody swallows something and now enters an oil ames, the person is tummy tumas meis, but what's balua inside the person will not be tummy tumas meis. Now this is only true if the person's alive. What if the person, Rahman al-Son, dies? So a dead person or a dead animal doesn't have the ability to be matzel, something that it was baileya. So the question is, this animal right now, that's mifar cheses, if it had something balua inside of it, would we say that the animal is matzel on what's balua on it, in it, or is it not matzel on what's balua in it? What's the crux of the question? Do we look at this animal as if it's alive? Do we look at it as if it's dead? If it's alive, it's going to be matzel. If it's dead, it's not going to be matzel. And this was the question. This animal that is alive, but at the same time, we look at it as if it's dead with regards to Tumas Oichlin, despite the fact that it's still Mefarcheses. How about with regards to Tumas Baluin? Do we look at it then as being alive, or do we look at it as being dead? Amale. So the question was asked from Rav Sheshes to Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira told Rav Sheshes, Metame Tumas Oichlin Umatzeles. How could you tell me it's going to be Matel? If it's Metame Tumas Oichlin, that means we look at it as if it's dead. If it's dead, it can't be matzel. Amaleh, so Rav Sheshes told Rav Zeira, I hear, but I can spin it the other way. It's not Tommy Tumas Nevelos. That's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, while it's in a state of Mefarcheses, it's Matama Tumas Eichlin, it's not Matama Tumas Nevelos. So if right now it's not Matama Tumas Nevelos, then how is it possible that it shouldn't be matzel? Says Omar Bayos. Abaya said, what's the achra? Eina matzelos ala bluin shavisaycha. It can't be matzel ala bluin. Matama Tumas Eichlin, being that it's Tommy Tumas Eichlin. And then Abaya said another aloha as it relates to this animal that's alive, it's hanging on to its final moments of life, it's mifar cheses, stating that we look at it as if it's not alive with regards to Tumas Oichlin, that v'haroiva, if someone would be roiveya, arayos, with this animal, chayev, he would be chayev, da'ina mitama Tumas Nevelo, because with regards to that, we would say for sure, we look at it as it's maisa, it's alive, and it's not tummy Tumas Nevelo. Either way, you have to start going through each subcategory in Shulchan Aruch. Do you look at this as a live animal? Do you look at it as a dead animal? So really, it's a little nishtahi nishtaher and a little bit satanst of tzvei chasenes, because to some degree we look at it as if it's alive, to another degree we look at it as if it's dead, Tumas Oichlin, Tumas Nevelis, Tumas Baluin, Roiva Chayev. Either way, that concludes the first part of today's talk. The Mishnah had discussed different parts of food, whether they're mitzarif or not mitzarif to the shir. The Mishnah had said, this was the first halacha of the Mishnah, Arva, Reite, Vakipa, Olol, Vatsomis, Vagidim, Vakrenayim, Vaklafayim, mitzarif and Matami Tumas Oichlin, Abaloi Tumas Nevelis. These things are all mitzarif to the shir kebeya that Oichel needs in order for it to become Tame. They're not mitzarif to the shir kezayis that Basar needs in order for it to have Tumas Nevelis. One of the things mentioned was the Alol, Then the Mishnah concluded with another halacha regarding the alel. That was Rabbi Yehuda. We saw this a little bit in yesterday's daf. Alel hamechunas. That if the alel was gathered together in yesh by gezayis b'malkam echad, if you have a gezayis in one place, chayiv all of you are going to be chayiv. Meaning, even though the reish of the Mishnah said that this alel is mitzdarif for tumas leichlin, it's not even mitzdarif for tumas nevelis. So you can't even use a little bit of this alel to be mitzdarif to the shir kezayis of tumas nevela. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's possible that you could have a whole kezayis of alel and it will be tamei tumas nevela. How's it possible to have that? If the alel was mechunis, if it was gathered together, then the halacha is yesh by kezayis b'makom echad, then you're going to be chayiv. Now, in yesterday's daf, we had a discussion in the Gemara what exactly alel is, right? The Gemara began daf kuf chaf alef amid alef, my alel. And Rabbi Yochanan said that what it means is martika. It's referring to the cervical ligament. This is a gid, it's a sinew that's in the spine, it's in the neck. Rashi said it's wide, it's white, it's very hard, it's not edible. And as a result, it has a very special place in halacha. Reish Lakish says that it means basa shepolta sayisakin. It's referring to the meat that is attached to the hide of an animal when the animal is being flayed. That little meat, even though really it's basar, but being that it was removed from the animal during the flaying process, so on some level the person was mevatel that basar while he was flaying it. That's what emerged from the Gemara, daf kuf chaf alef amud alef, and that's why it has a very special place in halacha. And the Gemara concluded that even though it's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish what exactly alel is, the machlokes was only said with regards to the reish of the Mishnah. Meaning when the reish mentions alel, where there's a distinction between whether the alel is mitzdarif for tumas oichlin versus tumas neveilos, there Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish debated what the Chachamim meant when they used the word alel. But as it relates to the last halacha in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda used the same exact word, when he said alel there, for sure what he was referring to was basa shepolta seisakin. Because as it relates to martika, you can have all the martika in the world. It's not going to be mitzdarif to a shir nevela. He said, if you take the basa shepolta seisakin, says Rabbi Yehuda, if it was mechunis, then the halach is, if you have a kezayis in that case, you're going to be chayv. Either way, the Gemara is now going to discuss a little bit Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and this next little bit of Gemara is not so easy. It's really shocking. It's really based on a Mishnah, on Daf Kuf Chav Dalet, which is Sunday's Daf. The Gemara is going to go into it again on Sunday's Daf, so we'll start it now and really go into it in greater detail, Mitzvah Hashem, in a few days. But either way, says the Gemara, so Rabbi Yehuda said, if the alel was mechunas b'makom echad, the halacha is, if you have a kezayis, it's going to be tamei, even tumas nevela. No, it's much harder to create a tumas nevela, as we see in the Mishnah. But if you have a kezayis of alel mechunas b'makom echad, that's enough, even for tumas nevela. This is only true if the person himself gathered it together. So if you went and you took a kezayis of alel, you started piecing it together, then this halacha is going to be true. But let's say it happened by itself, or an animal did it. I don't know. It happened in some other way. Then this halacha, it's not going to be true. Meaning, if you gave it to chshivas by bringing it together, that's where Rabbi Yehuda said his halacha. I'm Rabbi Yehuda said another halacha. Shnei chatzoi zeisin sheyesh al gabi ha'or, ha'or mevatlon. So again, a kezayis of basar nevela is metame tumas nevela. Nevela's metama b'maga u'b'masa. So one of the chidushim of Tumas Nevela is that it's not only metama b'maga, it's also metama b'masa. So Rav Huna came along and he said a halacha. He said, what would be if somebody was carrying a kezayis of Nevela? Yes, a kezayis of Nevela, it's Tumas Masa. But it was two pieces of Nevela, each one measured a half a kezayis. And the way it was just physically situated was each half a kezayis was attached to R. So you had a piece of skin of an animal, a hide of an animal that had a chatzi zayis, not a big shear, he had a little bit of basar, and then there was another big slab of art that had a little bit of, and he's carrying both of them. So Rav Huna said a halacha that it's not going to be mitzdarif. Two half a zaysim, sheyeshna al gabe ar, the ar is mevatel. Meaning the ar is mevatel, this half a kezayis, the ar is mevatel, this half a kezayis, so if I don't have a half and a half, I can't make a whole, because each half is batel. Says the Gemara, libedaman, that lechura, if you learned the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Kaf Dalim and Aleph, you would know that this halacha that Rav Huna said is mamish a mefurish Mishnah. It's kedai to see the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah over there brings a machloikis, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Or sheyesh aleha hoyu alav shnei chatzoi zeisim. If somebody had or. And there were two half a zaysim on the art. Metame b'masa v'loy b'maga. Divi Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva, I'm v'loy b'maga v'loy b'masa. So that's a mefurish ha'machlokes. Rabbi Yishmael says again, if you had on the art, two half a zaysim. It's not metame b'magra, but it is metame b'masa. Rabbi Akiva says, loy b'magra, v'loy b'masa. Kum tzakein Rav Huna, an amoyra, generations later. And what did Rav Huna say? Shnei chatzoy zaysim sheish nal gabi yo'ar, ha'ar mevatlan. It's not going to be metame. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna, why are you saying this halacha? This is already it's a Mishnah. Everybody knows this Mishnah. Say, the Gemara, Ali b'dama. Who's Rabbi Huna going according to? Yeah, Rabbi Yishmael. Is he going according to Rabbi Yishmael? It's not true. Rabbi Yishmael said not that way. Ha'amar loy mevatlar. He said it's true. Two half is Eisa, not matama tumas maga, but they are matama tumas masa. The Ali b'dama. Rabbi Akiva is going according to Rabbi Akiva. Pshita. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. Ha'amar mevatlar. Some manavshach. Is Rav Huna going according to Rabbi Yishmael? Then it's not true. Is he going according to Rabbi Akiva? We don't need Rav Huna for that. That's Pshita. So what's Rav Huna the Amoira coming to add as it relates to this halacha in Tumas Nevelos? L'chayr, it's something that the Tanam already discussed in a Mishnah, no less. So he was coming to say his halacha aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. L'chayr, how can he be saying his halacha aliba de Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael said mefurish that you don't say the Or is mevatel the half is ice. It is going to be metama Tumas Masa. It's mamish, not like what Rav Huna said. Says the Gemara v'chiyam Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Huna held the chiddush that this Rabbi Shmuel said is halacha that loy mevatelar hani milu shbaltas achay. That's only if a chaya was the one that removed these two half a zaysim. But if a person was flaying the animal and he himself removed a little bit of the basar as he was flaying the animal, that basar has no chashivas. I mean that basar has no chashivas. He would be carrying a half a zayis of that and half a zayis of that again. There wouldn't be mitzdarif. Meaning Rabbi Shmuel holds conceptually it's possible to be mitzdarif two half a zaysim of basar for the sheer tumas masa of nevela. That's Rabbi Shmuel Shit in the Mishnah. But Kuntz again, Rav Huna, and he said that's only if an animal, for example, was what removed it. But if a person flays the skin of an animal, and he, by when doing that, removes a little bit of vasar, there's a new halacha that the maisa hefshet, the maisa flaying it, is mevatel the chashivas of that basar, and that basar will never be able to be mitzdarf. So Rav Huna was saying a chiddush, he was coming to qualify Rabbi Shmuel's halacha. Rabbi Shmuel's halacha that the two hafazesim are mitzdarf is only true if it just happened by its own. Or poltasei chaya, but poltasei zaken is going to be different. So the Gemara talks about Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda said in our Mishnah, ha'olah lamechunis. If you had it all together, meish gezayis v'makom echayav enol. V'am Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said v'usha kinsay. This is only true if the person himself brought it together. Now, I am Rabbi Shlomi poltasei zaken. The Rabbi Yishmael and Amigloi batal. So the Gemara Rabbi Shlomi, if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yishmael, even if it's poltasei zaken, it's loy batal, meaning even if you flayed it, the halacha is it could still be mitzdarif. Not like the Gemara just said Rav Huna was saying in his pirish on Rabbi Yishmael. So Rav Huna damek Rabbi Yishmael. That it makes sense. This first halacha that Rav Huna said. What was Rav Huna's first halacha? That if a person flayed an animal, he has this olol. What's the olol? That's the basar that came off while he was slaying the animal. He gathered it together. Basar mechunas b'makom echad, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to be mitzdarf. Now, who's he going according to? He's going according to Rabbi Yishmael. Now, even though he flayed it, it would work if you hold that Rav Huna said that Rav Shmuel said his halacha not only when it was poltasei chaya, even when it was poltasei sak. Eli, I'm poltasei sak. Rabbi Shmuel batal. But if you're going to tell me that even Rabbi Shmuel never said his halacha when it was poltasei sak, in Rav Huna da, my command, then who's Rav Huna going like l'chayra? In Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph holds that a chatzi zayis and a chatzi zayis are never mitzdarif when it comes to nevelos. So Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah that says all the olol could be mitzdarif definitely can't be going according to Rabbi Yehuda. That definitely can't be going to Rabbi Akiva. Elamai must be going to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds two chatzi zaysim could be mitzdarif. The problem is Rabbi Yehuda's talking about where he flayed it. And Rav Huna said that Rabbi Shmuel never said his halacha when he flayed it. So then Rabbi Huda Adama Kaman. He doesn't shtim with Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah Daf Kuchav Dalet Amud Aleph. That's obvious. He also doesn't shtim with Rabbi Shmuel based on the way Rav Huna just explain Shita's Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Ella, you have to say, La'olam, poltesoi, sakin, the Rabbi Shmuel, loibot. You have to say that really, even if it's poltesoi, sakin, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not going to be botel. Meaning, even if it was poltesoi, sakin, Rabbi Shmuel says in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Chav Dalet, that the two half is Eisen Amitztarev, it's true if it was poltesoi, chai, it's also true if it was poltesoi, sakin. If that's the case, who's Rav Huna? What's Rav Huna's chiddush? Rav Huna said halacha that two half a zaysim are not mitzdarf. The Gemara didn't understand what exactly Rav Huna's chiddush was. Is he saying that Rabbi Yishmael? It's not true. Rabbi Yishmael holds two half a zaysim are mitzdarf. Is he going according to Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara's kash was pshita. That is what Rabbi Akiva said. So the Gemara had no choice but to come up with some novel
point that Rav Huna was making by saying that he was going to leave it to Rabbi Shmuel, and he was qualifying Rabbi Shmuel by saying that Rabbi Shmuel only said his halacha by Paltasoy Chaya, not by Paltasoy Zakta. But now we're falling off of that. So then what exactly is Rav Huna coming to say? Zakta Gemara, for Rabbi Huna, Domek Rabbi Akiva. Rav Huna was coming to say Rabbi Akiva. Aye, what's the kasha? Pshita? Tomorrow I'll tell you the chiddush. Ma'ad tam, I would have thought, ki kamer Rabbi Akiva, hani mili paltasay sakin. Maybe when Rabbi Akiva says halacha, that's if it was paltasay sakin. Have a paltasay chayo loy pato. Maybe Rabbi Akiva only said his halacha by paltasay sakin. It's the same svar in the reverse. We're saying it's more mistaber that it shouldn't be mistarif when it was paltasay sakin. Because by you removing the basar as you're flaying it, you're being mevatel the chashivas of the basar somehow. So maybe Rabbi Akiva only said his halacha by paltasay sakin. Maybe didn't say his halacha by paltasay chayo. Kamash malon. That was Rav Huna's chiddush. The time of Rabbi Akiva. Rav Huna gave a reason. The chiddush of Rav Huna wasn't the halacha. It's Rabbi Akiva's halacha. The chiddush of Rav Huna was the reason that he gave for his halacha. Because that's not something that's mufurish in the Mishnah. Daf kuf chav dalet amud aleph. Oh, the Gemara is going to say that in 1 second. You're asking good. And the Gemara is about to say that. Look, but either way, that's Rav Huna was coming to him mechadish to emphasize the reason. The reason is the ur is mevatlon and has nothing to do with the fact that you were mevatlet when you flayed it. It's the ur that's mevatlet. L'may nafkimina, if it's because you were mevatlet, then it would only be true by paltos ha'isachin. Because it's the ur that's being mevatlet, it means Rabbi Akiva's halacha is going to be true, even if it's paltos ha'chayon. Inside, kamash v'lon taimit Rabbi Akiva m'nei sha'ur mevatlon, therefore, loishna palat chayav, loishna palat sakin. And then the Gemara says, your kasha, kidiktani seifa. And really, it's mefurish in the seifa. B'nei ma'am Rabbi Akiva, mitayr ba'ur m'nei sha'ur mevatlon. And your question is, hadra kushal l'duchte. So again, what's Rav Huna's chiddush? So I think for now, we'll go weiter and we'll pick this up in Yetz Hashem on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalid Exhale. Either way, Zok the Mishnah Vayit. So the first Mishnah from here until the end of the Daf is lighter. So the first Mishnah mentioned Ha'or as being one of the things that are mitzvah for the Shir Tumas Leichlin, but not mitzvah for the Shir Tumas Nevela. Zok the Mishnah. It's not true for all Or. There are certain Oirois of certain animals and creatures with halacha is different. Those ors are considered oichel unto themselves. The following ors I treated like basar, or ha'adam. So a person, a kezayis basar of a human corpse is metame tumas meis, even tumas oil. What about the or? What about a person's skin? Is it mitzdarif for the shir or is it not mitzdarif to the shir? Says the Mishnah, Eilu sharisein kibsaron, or ha'adam. Va'or chazir shal yishu. The or of a chazer that lives in the yishuv. Rabbi Huda says, "Af or chazer abar." Even the or of a chazer that roams in the wild. Va'or chateresh shel gamal arako. The or of the hump of a young camel. Va'or haroish shel egel arach. The or of the head of a young calf. Va'or haprosos. The or of the hooves of an animal. Va'or beis haboishes. That's the or of oisei makoim of a female animal. Va'or hashlil. Va'or shal tachas ha'alyo. The or that's underneath the tail of the animal. Va'or ha'anoko va'akoyach va'alto va'achoymet. Those are four of the Shmoyne Shratzen. So all those oirois are treated like bus. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll talk a chulna. No. Tanakama, you said that the anoko, the koyach, the halto, and the chaymet are all considered shratzim whose oirois are kibsaron. I disagree with halto. Halto is treated like a chulda. Chulda is a weasel. And that oir is not kibsaron. Chulon, as it relates to all these oirois, ivdan, oish, hilach ben kidei avoid it tahir. If somebody would walk on them or process them at that point, it for sure wouldn't be considered basar anymore. So in its natural state, the oir is considered basar. But once it goes through the tanning process, at that point, it's not considered basar. Chutz me oir adam. With the exception of Ayra Adam, there's a Chumrah, the Gemara is going to give a reason for it, that even after it's processed, if somebody did that, or tanned it, actually made something from Ayra Adam, it would not lose its status of Ayra Adam, it would still be Metama, one last halacha, Rebecha Menuriyah, Meshmoyne Shratzim, Yesh Lehen, Ayra is that it's not only the that all Shmoyne Shratzim, their oir is considered Kivsar. Zokta Gemara Amar Ula. Ula said, Var Toira Oir Adam Tahar. So the first halacha of the Mishnah said, Elu Sharisen Kivsar was Oir Ha'adam. And then the Mishnah brought up Oir Ha'adam a second time. What was the second mention? First one was that even though Oir is usually not treated like Basar with regards to Tumah, that's the first Mishnah in the Perek. Ha'or v'harayt, right? Name of the Perek. So that was the very first halacha of the Mishnah, stating that, as it relates to Oir Ha'adam, it's one of the exceptions to the rule, Eilu Shairei Seyem Kivsar. So Oir Ha'adam is unique in that the Oir is treated like Basa with regards to Tumah. It has another unique quality in Hilchas Toma, and that is ordinarily oirois, even the ones that are like basar, once you process them, once they go through the tanning process, at that point, they're certainly not treated like basar anymore. Chutz mi oir ha'adam, zok di gemara, ula said, var teira oir ha'adam tar. Really, midai raisa, oir ha'adam is no different than the oir of a behema. It's like ha'or v'haroite v'hakipa v'alol, etc. Really, it should be treated like not like basar. Mata mamrutame. Why then did the Chacham say it's Tomei? We're concerned that somebody's going to take the aura of his father or mother, Rachmana Litzlan, and he's going to make a couch out of it, he's going to make a pillow, he's going to make a chair, says Toisvis. We don't want him to do that, because if he does that, he's going to be Mavaz's parents, which Toisvis says is Chamur Tuva. It's very, very chomer kibud avein, right? Even though kibud avein is only a mitzvah saseh, and ain't koifin al kibud avein because it's a mitzvah saseh shem and scharu betzida. But at the same time, we know it's a mitzvah chomer ad lemaoid. It's chomer tuva, says Tosfos. So we're worried about a person who may take the oir of his parents and he's gonna make things from it, tapestries from it. So exactly that meshugana. This is who we're worried about. So the chachamim said, I have a way of preventing it. You know how you prevent it? It's tamei. Oh, it's tamei. Now already he's not gonna do it. We'll get back to this. Some say that this halacha, this reason was said not on the Reish of the Mishnah, but rather was said on the Seifa of the Mishnah. So we said that Oira Adam is mentioned twice in the Mishnah as being unique. Number one, it's one of the Oirois that are Kivsara, not like the Oirois mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Perek. Number two, ordinarily, even the Oirois that are treated Kivsaran, that's only when they're in their natural state. But once they go through the tanning process, at that point, not. The Mishnah said, Chutz Miyara Adam. So in the second version of the Gemara, Ula Zalach was said not on the Reish of the Mishnah, but on the Seif of the Mishnah. As we're going to see, there's a very important Nafgamina Lahalacha where the Ula's comment was made on the Reish or on the Seif. So it was regarding the Seif, Omar Ula Dvar Taira Oir Adam Shavdei Tahar, Matam Amrutam, Exer Shemayasa Adam, Oiris Ava Vimai, Shatichin. He said that as relates to the Seifa, it's over there, mid the Uraisa, really, if you'd process the Ur of Adam, of course it would be tar. It's because of this chashash that someone's going to make something out of the Ur of his parents that the Chumim made this gzeres. The one that had Ula's comment of Dvar Torah Ur Adam Torah on the Reisha, certainly on the Seifa, meaning Ula holds that the whole idea that Ur Adam is treated kivsaron as only a dinder rabbanan, not a dinder raisa. Uman the masniyah seifa laveresh tuma day raisa. One that had on the seifa holds that really ula holds that oir ha'adam is tame midday raisa. The only time ula said oir ha'adam is tar midday raisa is in the case where it was processed. Being that it was processed midday raisa it's tar. It's only over there midrab. Meaning the nafkamina between the first lashon of ula and the second lashon of ula is fundamentally whether this that we say that oir ha'adam is kivsaron is that a dinder raisa or is that a din. According to the first lishon in the Gemara, it's a din derabbanan, dvar Torah oir adam tahar. According to the second lishon in the Gemara, that is a din deoraisa. So just to pause for a few moments, and that is, so the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says that when the Mishnah says that oir ha'adam is treated kivsara, meaning the oir of a human corpse is tamei, it's only a din derabbanan, certainly according to the first lishon in the Gemara. Why would the Rabbanan make such a takana? Midday Raisa, Oir is not treated like Basar. So why would the Rabbanan go ahead and make such a chumrah? They said because they were worried about a person that may go and take the Oir of his parents, make a pillow, make a chair out of it. And if he does that, he's going to be mezalzel in the covet of his parents. We know the Gemara says, mechabdei b'chai, mechabdei l'chamoisa, that a person has an obligation to mechabdei his parents even after they're not alive anymore. And this person is going to violate mitzvahs kibud avein, says Tosfos de chomer tuva. So to prevent this from happening, what did the Chachamim say? The Chachamim said, it's tameh. Oh, if it's tameh, now we're ready, all bets are on. What comes to mind is a Gemara Masechtas Yuma, Daf Chof Gimel Lamed Aleph. The Gemara over there discusses the history of the Geirolois that they used to make every morning in the Beis HaMikdash to determine which Kayin would do which Avoida. The Gemara says as follows, Tanu Rabbanan, Maisa, there was a story of Shnei Kayhanim, Shoyu Shneim Shavim. There were two Kayhanim that were running up the ramp. They both wanted to do the first mitzvah that was done every morning on the Mizbeach, the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. Kadam Echad Behem Lutaych Abba Amish Al Chaveroi, and the race is on, and they're within four Amis of each other. Not Al Sakin, the person who realized that he was about to lose, took his sakin out, right? The Kayanim used to carry a sakin. V'tokal tloy b'liboy. And he stabbed the person that was ahead of him. He literally stabbed him. So now he was able to win the race. Omad Rab Tzadik Amaylas Ulam. So Rab Tzadik was there. He got up on the steps of the Ulam. V'omar and he gave his rasha. He said, Achenu Beis Yisrael, Shimu, give a kick or
more accurately, listen to what just happened. The pasuk says, we know that if you find a corpse and then the parsha shoift and the Torah talks about the mitzvah of egla harufa. Now we just found the cholol, and the cholol was found in the Beis Hamikdash. So he said, Rabbi, I'm going to ask you a question. Alamdish shaila, all the London. He said, who's supposed to bring the egla harufa now? Amila havi egla harufa. Aloir. Should the whole Yerushalayim bring it? Or maybe Alo Hazarais, maybe the Yidden and the Hazara. And he wasn't looking for an answer. He was trying to make a point. He was trying to show the Olam what just happened. I mean, the Torah talks about Shvichas Damim with the Egla Arufa. And here we had Shvichas Damim literally on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara says that the Olam listened to Rav Tzadik's drasha, Kalu Kalu Ambepchia. And they all cried. But Aviv Shaltinak, as this drasha is going on, in this very poignant scene, where all the Kayhanim, everybody's crying, listening to Rav Tzadik, give them a Musa Shmuz for how terrible the situation devolved to. So the father of this child, Rachmana Litzlan, that was just stabbed to death, he comes running, he saw that his son was mefarcheses. He wasn't literally dead yet. Omar, he said, Hareyu kaparaschem. He said that my son's dead. Let this be a kapara for what just happened. And then he said, "Va'adayim b'ni mefarfer." He says, "Look, my son is still alive. V'lo nitma sakin. The knife is not tameya. Go chap the sakin." So this is the father of the child. He goes and he tells them, go grab the sakin because it's mefarcheses, not mishar sugyas. And he said, you can grab the sakin out because it didn't become tameya. He says, the Gemara, that you want to see what the state of the union was at that time. They went and they chapped the sakin to make sure that it wouldn't become tameya. And you see from here, that for the oilam then, the laws of tumah v'tahira were more chamer than shvichas damim. And a shvichas damim took place. And that somehow, on some level, was okay. But the fact that the keli was going to be tamei, that's a problem. So go ahead, quickly, remove the sakin. It's like, this is going to be tamei. So you see from here, shekosha aleim tahiras kelim yoisim shvichas damim. The Olam used to take tumah v'tahira more seriously than shvichas damim. So it's very gishmak our Gemara. Says the Gemara that they were trying to prevent people from being mevaza their parents. You know what they said? That if you're going to make a chair, you're going to make a couch out of the or of your father and your mother, the couch is going to be, oh, Tomei, that already they're not getting involved in. So to be mevaza the parents, keep it over aim, which is chomer tuva, no. But as it relates to Tumah v'tahira, that they took more seriously. Is it a chiddush? No, it's not a chiddush. It's a Gemara in Yuma. Daf chaf gimel amud aleph. The Gemara says, v'amedcha shekosh aleim tahiras kelim yoisem mishvichas damim. It's interesting that there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Yotes, in Yeridea, Sif Cotton, Dalit, and Hay. The context over there is a chashud. Right, so sometimes a person can violate a certain halacha in Shulchan Aruch or a certain mitzvah, asay, lois asay, and become a chashud for that thing. And if you're a chashud for something, we don't trust you as it relates to that particular item to which you're chashud. And it impacts many areas in halacha. Hilchas Eidus, Hilchas Shvuas, could you be a shaychid? If somebody is chashud in a gevissa area, so it impacts the reliability that this person is now going to have in that area. Says the Shulchan Aruch, "Chashud l'davar echad, enei chashud l'dvar macher." If someone is chashud for one thing, he's not chashud for a davar achad. Skip it. Says the Shulchan Aruch weiter, but a chashud al iser chamer. If someone's chashud for an iser chamer, chashud al kami meno, then he's going to be a chashud for the davaka. So even though it's true, a chashud l'davar echad, enei chashud l'dvar macherim, that's only if they're equal. But if someone's chashid for a davar chamor, right, if someone is not nizer in machalis asurais, then certainly he's going to be chashid for something that's only about nefesh yach, right? Because one is more chamor than the other. So there's a concept of a chashid al iser chamor. That person is chashid for iser akal mimenu. Stating that, says the Shulchan Aruch, a very important caveat, that when is that true? That's only elim kein chamor be'enei bnei adam. Shezehir b'yoysa mebechamor. He said that's only true that if people actually treat the iser chamor as being more chamor than the iser kal. Meaning, if you have two isurim and one in halacha is more chamor than the other, but be'enei habriya is, it's not necessarily that way. So then this halacha is not going to be true. Meaning, this that we say a chashad al iser chamor is chashad al iser kal. You know what defines chamor and kal? Not for shteit in Shulchan Aruch. But people, this is about human psychology. If somebody is chashid for this, doesn't mean he's going to be chashid for that. It really depends on exactly what people think. And it's all be'enei abriyos. So you're going to tell me, what do you mean? This is so chamor. This is not as chamor. I hear, but that's not what governs this halacha. What governs this? Try not to give examples. What governs this halacha is be'ene habriyos. It's not what was actually stated in Shulchan Aruch. And just to bring out this point from a mefurish halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber gives an example, and this is many many simanim later. It's in Yoyredeya also. It's in Hilchas Yayin Nesech. It's in Kuf Chav Tes Sif Katan Yodale. Zok to Shulchan Aruch. Zoyna. There were a bunch of Yidden sitting together. They were eating. They were drinking wine. And there was a Zayna, a non-Jewish Zayna. So the halach is Hayayim Mutter. You're allowed to drink the wine. Now, why would you think you're not allowed to drink the wine? Out of a concern that maybe the Zayna, who's a non-Jew, touched the wine. Once she touches it, it's maga over the kechavim. It's also b'shtir. You're not allowed to drink it. I mean, this is Yayin Nesach 101. So the halacha is that if she's sitting at the table, it's okay. She'im anichin oisel l'nasech. Because it's understood that she's not allowed to touch the wine. What if it was in the reverse? What if a Zoyna Yisraelis is sitting with the Mesibah of the Kechavim? So there the halacha is, Yena Shala Zoyna Gam Kenasa. The Zoyna is not allowed to drink because there the sitting with Avdi Kechavim, Avdi Kechavim touched the wine, so the Zoyna is not allowed to drink it. Frank the Taz, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, what's going on over here? You have a bunch of Yidin sitting together with a Zoyna. Oyvedes kechavim. And we have a shailah. Is the yayin mutter? Is the yayin us? What do you mean? The zayin is sitting there. She touched the wine. No, no. The wine's mutter. You know why? She'ein manich anoysel anaseh. Because no one's going to let the zayin touch the wine. Why are they not going to let the touch the wine? Because they're very frum. Because there's a halacha of a stam yenam, of magayah. You fake the test. They're sitting with a zayin. So they're not worried about kili arayis, but they're worried about stam yenam. It's like the test, yeah. Yeah, that's the short answer. And he says, take a look. He says, take a look at Yerudea Simin Kuf Yotes of Cotton Hay. That there's a concept sometimes, Be'ini Abrius, that one thing will be a lot more chamer than the other. So here you have an idea where it was very chamer by them, Stam Yenam. But hey, man, you know, they're not going to let her touch the wine. But somehow, the Arayas part, that they don't have an issue with. Unbelievable. Varm the floor. But either way, this is a machabra again. In Yerudea Simin Kuf Yotes of Cotton Hay, and in Yerudea Simin Kuf Choftes, Kuf Yotes, and Kuf Choftes, Sif Katan Yodalit. You know, Shlomo Zalman Brun and Sha'ar Mitzion and Ba'alacha. So whenever the Gemara talks about such an idea, he always brings out this Sha'ar. He's Mairich on this in a lot of different places with a lot of beautiful Ma'ar Mekoymas. One Ma'ar Mokim that I saw in the Sha'ar Mitzion and Ba'alacha is he brings a tshuva from the Heilig Gedivrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim's tshuva is in Yerudea Chelek Beis. It's Simen Kuf Zayin. And the tshuva was written to his son, the B'ni Chavivi. Harav Hamor Hagadol Tzadik Mefursim Choref Ubaki Moreno V'Rabeno Harav Yecheskel Shraga of Bezdin the Shinova. So this is the Divrei Yecheskel, the Shinova Rebbe, who was the Divrei Chaim's son, and he wrote a tshuva to him. And this is a tshuva that's negeh the halachas of Bechayros. So maybe we'll revisit this in a few weeks. Metz Hashem, when we start learning Mesechtas Bechayros, but it was negeh Bechayros Bizman Hazeh with taking a non-Jewish partner, right? Taisvis and Bechayros Tapez and Beis, etc. The first sugya in Mesechtas Bechayros. But either way, he writes this whole tshuva does the Divrei Chaim to his son about how you're supposed to go about Bechayr Bizman Hazeh with Machlekes Rashi Rabbeinu Tam with Kesef and Meshicha for but yeah, clearly ain't coming kaima. But either way, so says the Divrei Chaim at the very end of the tshuva. These are the last two paragraphs. He says, "Agam sheyodati shabavoy nesenu harabim ami b'makol yishol ubefrat be'ini alomdim be'ineim isid rabbonim kozeh kalamoy." See, now I wrote this long tshuva, but let's be honest. At the end of the day, this is not an area that people take too seriously in halacha. This is a dover that's kalmoid and says that the Divrei Chaim shebavoy neisenu harabim. He says, unfortunately, today machmirim bechasidus. There are people that are very machmir in certain areas. They're big chasidim, but umakilim b'mashech mira Torah, and they're big makilim with things that the Torah said. So when it comes to things that are extra credit that you don't have to do mili de chasidus, we find that people are very very machmir. But when it comes to things that the Torah was machmir, that's okay. Va'oimrim, and you know what they say? She b'di'evet al kol ponim kosher. Is it okay b'di'evet? So it's a dover shechmira b'toira, but it's okay b'di'evet. I mean that it's okay b'di'evet. They are somehow fine with that. And then the Divrei Chaim gave an example of it. He says, u'kumoysha shamati b'dayonim rabim. Shenekolahem, I've heard that many dayonim, these are people that write gittin. They write gittin. And they're very mekel, lahashmet shem aviho isha b'get. So sometimes they won't write the Isha, who's being divorced, father's name in a get, imrak enam yoidin lichtav kinei Hashem. They don't know how to write it 100% properly, the kinui of his name.
you know, what he's referred to as, his nickname, so to speak, sometimes they'll omit it completely. Also, very often I've heard that there are people that write gittin, and they'll write the name of the man and the name of the woman that are getting divorced, but if they have certain nicknames, names that they refer to, so Yaakov, Yanko, like they'll leave these nuances out. So what do they write? Write Shema Nipula Sefer Torah. And they do a Machmas Psakara Mozal Evan Ezim and Kufchav Tesef Chuyutres. Asher Gedoyle Achreinu Mamish Betshuvas Umichtav Eliyahu Zechreinu Vracha Poislin. Listen to this lashon. He says, "Umaane, maane lashon. Umaane, we have a batfila here. Befi shualim ketanim halolo in the mouth of these shualim. Shekein mekubul biyada migaoine dar shalufaneino that they have such a kabbal. Ubeemes hakdoilim zal shaper also. Shekein masu biyadeinu migdoil yashkenas. Shabim iyef shalovay al tchunas Hashem. Sagi b'shem achanicha. Oishem the sefer Torah lechot. It's true there is a mesorah that b'diyeved if you write the name that the person is called up to the sefer Torah to, it's gonna be okay. That's true, but that's only true if it's b'diyeved. But if it's not bidi, but if the bidi evid is the fact that they just don't know, and they decided we're going to be soymich on the bidi evid, and we're not going to do our due diligence to find out to the best of our ability what's going on, he says v'vaday asu lichmois lismoich alzeh v'yasu sheilu legodol ador. You have to go ask shaylos v'hemi yevaru eich lichtoiv signon Hashem v'ein loy mehaloy bidi evid kosher ze enoy ki mevur back domol sefer shmois dal zeh nemar kol she'ini b'deya b'tev gittin lo yeh loy esek imam hagam de bidi evid kosher. And then he writes at the end, he says, "Va'oy lisha also biyomai kach." He says, "Woe is to me that I had to witness this in my generation." We have people that somehow, when it comes to gittin, something that's so chomer, that being soymecha b'di'evetz. Hashem atoiv yechaper v'nislach la'aldas Yisrael. Then he writes it. Then v'ne like a safti calls there. Chrach loydiach koisha divrei emes ka'aves ben yiratzes. And I'm telling this to you. You have to know this. Avol yadati I know ki shualim ketanim hema. He uses this lashon again. He's referring to them as shualim, right? But either way, he says they're not going to listen to you. But the punchline, what he was trying to tell him was, is he says, you know, unfortunately, I see this a lot, and Baba Yonaseinu, a rabbi, machmirim b'chassidus, umakirim b'mashe chmira Torah, v'oimrim shebediyevet al koponim kosher. You see, the Rechaim was very passionately about, give an example, gittin, smamish all over the place, but he felt very, very passionately about this idea. This, again, this is an idea that's already brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerudei Simen Kuf Yotes, in Yerudei Simen Kuf Choftes, the Gemara in Mesechtes Yumadav, Chof Gimel Amar Aleph, Lametcho, that was kosher aleim, Tyrus Kalim, Yoisim Eshvichas Damim, and you have it right here, tucked away, Mesechtes Chulin, Dav Kuf Chabbe, that it was more chamer by people tuma than it was kibud av eim. So a person would maybe be mevazeh's parents to make a couch out of the ur of rachmana litzlan, his parents' corpse. But if you tell him he's going to be tame, then already somehow that's going to get him to stop. Either way, zok de gemara vayta. The Mishnah said v'or chazir, the ur of the chazir. So the halacha is, it's unique in that it is kivisar. Stating that, we had a machloikis. Is it only the chazir of the yishuv, or is also the chazir that roams in the wild? So up to more of Michael Mifflin, what's the beer in the machloikis? Very simple. The beer in the machloikis is just more physical. The texture of that or if the or is considered soft like basa, then we would treat it like basa. If it's considered hard, then we wouldn't treat it like basa. Machloikis was, is it considered soft, or was it not considered soft? Or chateresh al gomel harakba. The or of the hump of a young camel is also treated like bas. Kama gomel harakah. What does a young camel mean? Amar ulo, amar Rabbi Shulban Levi. Ulo said the name Rabbi Shulban Levi because man shloi ta'ana. As long as this camel didn't have any load carried on it, that would be considered young. So it's not so much about age. What it really means is did it physically carry a load? Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, but Rabbi Yirmiyah wasn't so sure. He said, he is mad a little bit ta'ana mai. What if it's old enough that it can start carrying a load, but it didn't physically carry a load? What be the halacha that? Baya cleared the reverse question. What if it really wasn't old enough to carry a load, but we put a load on it? What would be the halacha that? Take. Yes, Reish Lakish coming by you lay. Reish Lakish once sat down and he asked the same question. What's the age of this young camel where a reseyan of its hump is kivsar? Amalei Rabbi Shmuel ben Abba. Hachar Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. Shmuel ben Abba told Reish Lakish, I heard the name Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. Chosman shalei ta'ana. As long as it didn't carry a load. Amalei, Reish Lakish was so happy with Rabbi Shmuel ben Abba told him. He was so excited. He never heard this. He said, wow, Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, he gave that as the age of the gomel haraka. He said, Tivle kabli, have a seat, sit right next to me, or right across from me. He was mechabed him. The Gemara says that
there was another story with another gadol, Reb Zeira. Yes, Reb Zeira, come by later. Reb Zeira once said, and he asked the same question, Kama gomel haraka? What's the age of the gomel haraka? Amalei Rav and Bar Chinina. So Rav and Bar Chinina told him, Hachi Amar Ula, Rav Yishuv and Levi. He said, I also heard from Rav Yishuv and Levi, called Man Shalei Tohana. He said, as long as it didn't, and have a katanila. And the Gemara says that Rav and Bar Chinina, he repeated to Reb Zeira, he said it a second time. So he told him, he gave him his answer, and then he repeated the answer. So Amalei, so Reb Zeira told him, Chada Havalon. What, you only have one thing to say? That you have to repeat it? He said, Amrit, you don't have to say it a second time. And the Gemara comments, Tochazi, ma bein tkifa aridi Yisrael, v'chasidei d'bavel. Take a look at the difference between the takif in Eretz Yisrael and the chasid in Bavel. Who was the takif in Eretz Yisrael? Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish was a takif. We'll read Rashi inside. Rashi gives examples of where you find Rish Lakish was a takif. Reb Zeira was the chasid in Bavel. Yet, Rish Lakish, when he heard from Bishmol Rabbi Yois, from Bishmol Bar Abba, what Rabbi Shulman maybe said, he was so excited that he was mechabed him. He said, wow, thank you so much for giving me this piece of information. I never knew how to define the Gomel HaRaka in the Mishnah Chulin Kuf Chavezim and Aleph. And he said, have a seat, and he gave him covet. Reb Zeira, who was the chassid in Bavel, counterintuitively, right? Just the that's what the comment is. The comment is the irony. Is that the Reb Zeira the chassid, what did he tell Rabbi Bar Chinina? He almost mocked him in a way, Kaviyachal. He said, what, this is the only thing you know that you have to tell it to me twice? Not only wasn't he mechabirim like Reish Lakish was, but to the contrary. So where do you find that Reish Lakish was a takif? And where do you find that Reb Zeira was a chassid? So Rashi says as follows, Reish Lakish mitkifet arad Yisrael, five lines from the bottom. Kid arminu perek kamad yuma, like you find in yuma daf tesam and beis. Mandem ishtoy Reish Lakish ba'adeh. If somebody would see somebody talking with Reish Lakish, yavaleh iska b'loy sahadeh. People would trust this, but Reish Lakish didn't just talk to you. So if Reish Lakish was having a conversation with you, it meant you were an erlich mensch, so erlich that people would go ahead, they would lend money to, they would give him an iska, right? They would invest with him. But lo sadi, they wouldn't even need aid him because they would trust this person 100%. Chasam Sofer says, in Torah's Moshe and Parashas Mishpatim, Al toshes yotche im rasha, liyos eit chamas. That people have to be careful who they associate themselves with. Specifically, chashuva people. Because if you are going to associate, if you're a person of chashivas, and you now associate with Pliny, people are going to assume that that Pliny is a good guy. And they may go ahead and trust him. And they may give him something b'loy sahadi, like the Gemara says about Reish Lakish. And you know what's going to come out? That you being together with this Rasha ended up being Eid HaShekah. Because you're testifying, so to speak, by being chaveir with this person, that this person is a good guy, when in reality he's not a good guy. So he said, imagine Reish Lakish would have spoken to somebody that wasn't Erlach. Somebody would have trusted him, b'loy sadi. The next thing you know, l'hadam, l'hayidvar me'ayla, migus, right? You would have the whole bava kam, bava mitzi, bava masters. Well, kamein tzuras. So here, you have to be very careful. Reish Lakish certainly did who he spoke to. So says the Hilgi Chassam Sofer, al toshes yotche in Rasha. Don't just go ahead and become a chaver with a Rasha, because Leo said chavas, you realize if you're going to be chaver with a Rasha, you're saying ey d'sheker. Because people are going to assume this Rasha is not a Rasha, because otherwise, why is this person associating himself with him? And at the end of the day, a terrible churban can come about from that. But either way, so this is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish. I hear, very good. Thank you, Mosh. So either way, says Rashi. So Reish Lakish was from the Takifin. What did Reish Lakish do over here? When he heard this pshat, he wasn't a takif. He said tivle kavli. But Reb Zeira the mibavel salik lahachak the minibaseches apoyelam. Reb Zeira, even though Reb Zeira lived in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, right? Reb Zeira the Gemara land of Ksubis and Megillah, different places, but the Gemara talks about Reb Zeira's hesped, Bavel and Eretz Yisrael participated in the spedim of Reb Zeira, because Reb Zeira was a product of Bavel and a product of Eretz Yisrael. But either way, Reb Zeira, who went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Reb Zeira oisif arbon tanesi dinish takach minei Talmud Bavli. So he first learned Talmud Bavli, and then he fasted 40 tanesim that he should forget Talmud Bavli. So Rashi is just bringing an example of where you see that Reb Zeira went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. But either way, umachaside the Bavel hava. Reb Zeira was from the chasidim of Bavel. Chidar mina basoichas apoyalim. Reb Zeira Yosef kol tausin yoimin badik nafshe v'shogat tanur v'solik begava. Reb Zeira used to sit in an oven at Tanur every 30 days. To see if he would be singed, to get an idea of the ish of Gehenim. Either way, Reb Zeira was a tremendous chassid. And what did Reb Zeira do? Chazim mai achsefe lahum de rabbanon. Achsefe is a lashon of embarrassing. Look at how he treated this one of the rabbanon. Either way, I'm not sure what the punchline is, but the point is the Gemara is certainly remarking rhetorically that give a kick, that Reish Lakish, who throughout Shas you think of as being a takuf over here, he was so happy with this vart that he heard, he said tivle kabli. And Reb Zeira, whose personality throughout Shas is that of a chassid, opposite. Over here, it was just the opposite. Either way, v'ar ha-roish. So the Mishnah said that the ar of a roish of an eagle arach is also kibsar. Kama eagle arach. What's the definition of a young eagle? Ula uma ula says ben shnasai. Up until 1 year of life. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kol zman she'yonek." So according to Ula, it's the first year of the eagle's life. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's as long as it's nursing from its mother. How exactly do you understand it? Did Ula say ben shnasai v'hu she'yonek? Ula said two things. It has to be less than a year old and nursing. Rabbi Yochanan came to say, no, all you need is that it should be nursing. Ula gave one qualification, not two. He had one criteria. It just has to be ben shnasa. It doesn't matter ben yoinik, ben shayin, or yoinik. Rabbi Yochanan said ben shnasa, v'hu shayinik, and Rabbi Yochanan was saying two. So was Ula saying two, Rabbi Yochanan said one, or Ula needed both criteria? One of the criteria, Rabbi Yochanan said, you need both criteria. So, Gemara Tashma, Diktok. Rabbi Yochanan Amar calls man sheyoinik. The word calls man. The em isa v'u sheyoinik miboy leishma amino. Calls man is mash, all you need is one. So, Ula held that it has to be within a year, and it has to be yoinik. And on that, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kolz man sheyoinik." No, as long as it's yoinik, doesn't matter how old it is. Had Rabbi Yochanan been the one that was saying you need both, he would have said "vehu sheyoinik." He would have been adding. It's mash, but just the opposite. What's the halacha about the or of the head of a young eagle with regards to what? Sheyitama. Is it metama or is it not metama? Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan told him, "Ain't it metama." Amalei, so Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan the obvious question. What's the question? It's on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah mentions one of the Elu Sha'irei saying Tivsaron is the R of the Rosh of an Egel Arach. So Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan essentially the halach of the Mishnah. He said, what's the halach of the R of an Egel Arach with regards to Tumma? Rabbi Yochanan said, no, it's not Kibsaron. So Amalei said, Rish Lakish told him, Adatanu Rabbeinu, you're the one who told me the Mishnah. Elu Sha'irei saying Kibsaron. And one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah is V'ar Rosh of Egel Arach. Amalei said, he told him, Al Tach Niteini, don't ask me questions from that Mishnah. B'loshin Yochid Ani Shoinoisa. We've had this already a few times. L'il Daf Nun Heyam Adbeis, L'il Daf Ayin Zayin Amanav. He said, it's true, I taught you that Mishnah. But that Mishnah, which Mishnah? The Mishnah that we just learned. So usually it's that Mishnah. Now it's our Mishnah. It's this Mishnah. The Mishnah that we just learned is the opinion of a Yochid, the Tanya. Where do you see that? It's a Mefurisha Braisa. In the Mishnah, it sounds like it's a Stam Mishnah. But the Braisa tells the rest of the story. And in this case, the rest of the story is just who the author of the halacha is. It's a yachid. I mean that it's a yachid. Rabbi Yochanan didn't pass in that way. Time we learned to the brayis. Asho yichid. That's all. If somebody shechts a carbon oil, hak the kezayis meyosh tachaz alyo, and he had a mind to be makter a kezayis of the or that's underneath the tail. Chutzlam kaimoy. If he had a mind to do chutzlam kaimoy, pasul vei my cars. Chutzlam manoy. Pigel v'chayav an old cars. Basic pigel. Meaning we look at the or shetachaz alyo as being basar. As a result, this is a regular carbon oil that was brought with a machsheves pigel. Chutzim kaimai, what's the halacha of pigel? Pasul ve'im by karis. Chutzim mani, what's the halacha of pigel v'chayav and all of karis? Elazar ben Yehuda ish avlum oimer mishum Rabbi Yaakov. V'chein oi Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ikum oimer mishum Rabbi Shimon. Echad or prasois. Ve'echad or haroi shel egal arach. That's what we need. Ve'echad or shel tachas ha'alyo. V'kol shem manu chachamim gabi tumah. And all that were mentioned by the chachamim regarding tumah. She'oi reisein kivsaron. So usually when Chazal bring this braisa, it's not really relevant to what we're learning, other than a prat. But this is mamash our halacha. Elu shemanu chachamim gabi tumah shayaseim kivzarim. That's not, we're learning okta now, right? We're learning perikar v'raitim. These are our sugyas. Lahavi or shal beis haboishes, and that's coming the rabbis, even the or of the beis haboishes. Everything was mentioned in the Mishnah. Chutzim kami pasav ve mekaris. Chutzim mani pikam chayav and all the karis. Meaning that treated like pasar. So said Rabbi Yochanan, it's true. The Mishnah says that all these oirois are kivzarim. The Mishnah said it in the context of tumah. I don't paskin like the Mishnah. How can you not paskin like the Mishnah? It's a Mishnah. And we know Rabbi Yochanan holds halachic, it's not Mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish that this is not a Stam Mishnah. This is a Yochid. Who's the Yochid mentioned in the Mishnah? It's a Braisa. Now the Braisa was said regarding Pigel. It's a Kachem de Gebraisa. And it's the same halach, albeit a different application of it. That all these Uris are considered Basar. Thus, if somebody would have a Machsheves Pigel regarding them, the halach is, it would be Chalva. It would be chal pigel. We would view it as basar. The punchline, as it relates to this gemara, is that who said the halacha that these oireis are basar regarding pigel? It was Elazar ben Yehuda ish Avlum in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, and it was Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar ikum in the name of Rabbi Shimon. The point is, it's a yachid. I mean, it's four tanoim that I mentioned, but it's yichidim in the sense that it's not a stam mishnah. I mean that it's not a stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, I don't hold like this mishnah. You have a mishnah here, very nice, but Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, the halacha is not going to follow that stam mishnah. We will conclude a very festive week of Daf Yomi right here.